So we are now here in our Gospel Explained, and we will be tackling more about the book of Romans. And let's have a recap first. Okay, so last week, Pastor explained to us the grace of God, and the Lord and Pastor explained to us that death reigned to Abraham. Okay, if you will see there a compare and contrast. It was a compare and contrast of Adam and Jesus Christ. And in the second point, he has grace reigns through Christ, and grace triumphs over sin and death. How was your discussion in your life groups? Very nice, right? And I want you to share also, and this is the beauty of life groups. It's not just you sharing life with each other, testimonies or your problems with each other, but it's also an opportunity for us to dig deeper on what we are tackling in church. And we want to share to you that we also discovered in that grace of God, in that chapter of Romans 5, 12 to 21, that the grace of God is free. It's free. You don't need to pay for it. Imagine something that is free is amazing. I'm always testifying this in church. My first car is 80 ringgit. My second car is free, and my third car is free. And the best thing in life is free, because that's the best thing in life. The salvation that Jesus Christ gives is free of charge. And then you also see there that grace leads to justification. All of your sins are forgiven. All of your sins are blotted away. You are white as snow. And then that grace of God not just justifies, but it is also so abundant. It's overflowing. And then God's grace leads to eternal life. That's the beauty of God's grace. And if you will look back, right, what will you choose? God's wrath or God's grace? We studied that in Romans 2. Are you going to get God's wrath or God's grace? The choice is yours. And now, let's all stand up, okay, and as we give reverence to the Word of God, okay, let's all read all together Romans 6, 1 to 4. Let's start. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us has been baptized into Jesus Christ? We're baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Let us pray. Father, we commit to you, O Lord, today's message. Prepare our hearts, O Lord God. Prepare our minds, O Lord. Prepare our spirit, O Lord God. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding, O Lord God, in your words today. And Lord, I pray, set our hearts and our minds to you, O Lord. And Lord, I pray, anoint my lips, O Lord, as I preach your gospel today. Thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. We commit everything to you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all be seated. Okay, so the topic today that we're going to discuss is the newness of life. If I will be asking you, what would you choose? An old car or a new car? You would always say, if you have the opportunity, you will get a new car. Correct? Because you have 5 years warranty, right? You have 5 years of hassle-free. If you don't know about cars, that 5 years will be something that you would appreciate. Any breakage there, you just put it in the shop, the car dealer shop and they will fix it for you. And that is what God wants us to experience. Newness of life. Now, if you will look here, there are four questions here. What shall we say then? Are we to continue sin that grace may abound? So how can we who died to sin live in it? And do you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Four questions. Okay, those are usually the four questions that people will ask about what Paul is preaching. And he is currently defending the faith that he is preaching. And if you will look at Romans 5, going back, now the law came into increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So the very reason that are we to continue to sin that grace may abound? The answer is no. It is impossible for us alone, okay, to conquer sin. That's why we need the grace of God daily. Now, let's look at the three key points, okay, that the Lord wants us to see today. So, baptized into Jesus Christ. So, if you will look, what is the meaning of baptize, okay? It's to administer the rite of baptism, okay? So it means to be baptized, okay? To give a name to, or to immerse, dip in water. Who among you here is baptized already? No, so if you are not yet baptized, go sign up in our baptism class. Okay, it will be explained it there more. Now, if you will look closely in Romans 6, 3 to 4, do you not know, okay, that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. So let's answer the question, what does it mean to be baptized into Jesus Christ? Now, you will be hearing a lot of doctrines about you have to be baptized to be saved. The answer is no. You know why? Go to Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. It's very clear there. Romans 10, 9 says, because if you confess with your mouth, okay, with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead, you will be saved. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you will be saved. Therefore, baptism is a result of that faith. Take note of that. Your baptism cannot save you. But because of that declaration in Romans 10:9 that we did when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you are now spiritually baptized. You have died with Christ. You are buried with Christ, and you are raised with Christ. Now, you might be asking, so what is the importance of the physical baptism? It is a reminder. It's a declaration. You're declaring to the world that I am a Christian. And it is a reminder to us that when you are being soaked on water, you are dying when the pastor is leaning you on into the water. You are dying with Christ. And when you're underwater, it signifies that you are buried with Christ. And then when you are raised, it means you are raised with Christ. It is a physical declaration. Okay, it's a world declaration that you are a Christian, but it is also a spiritual declaration that you, when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you believe in your heart, you will be saved. That is the spiritual. Then that is the next process. You are now spiritually baptized in Jesus Christ. Therefore, you will have the newness of life because you are now baptized in Jesus Christ. You cannot have a new life if you are not in Jesus Christ. So this is another illustration. So it's Romans 6:3, died with Christ, buried with Christ. So when you are soaked underwater, you are buried with Christ. And then when you are raised, when you're baptized, it is your race. It means that you are raised in Christ. So I hope this broadens your knowledge about the Word of God, about baptism. It is a declaration. When you declared with your mouth, you confess with your mouth, and you believe in your heart, you will be saved. And after that, this is the spiritual and the physical baptism that you will experience in Christ. Now, point B is about being united with Jesus Christ. Because you are already baptized with Jesus Christ, you are now united with Jesus Christ. Now, united, okay, from the Latin word unitus, okay, or the principle of the past participle unire, okay, make into one. You are now one with Christ. Because you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are now one with Christ. Now, let's answer the question, okay, why is it important to be united with Jesus Christ? Now, in Romans 6:5 says, "For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this." Point B, point one, is united with Jesus through death and resurrection. Because you are now with Jesus Christ, therefore, when he died on the cross for us, he also nailed all our sins there. And therefore, when he was resurrected, we will also be resurrected. Do you still remember my message about the glorified body? It's the same. It's the continuation there. You will not have a glorified body until you die physically. And you will not be resurrected if you are not united with Christ. You will not have eternal life without Jesus Christ. That's a fact. Now, another point. Why is it important to be united with Jesus Christ? We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who died has been set free from sin. B.2 says, crucified with Christ so we could be set free from sin. Imagine that. You have to be united with Christ for you to be set free from sin. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. nailed everything. He nailed everything on the cross for us to be saved and set us free from sin. Have you seen why people were having ball of chains before? Right? Imagine if you have a ball of chain. Is it easy to walk? When old men and women, okay, I'm one of them, when you have cranky knees and feet, it's very hard to walk, correct? What more if you have a ball of chain? Can you run? Can you do your jogging with a ball of chain tied on your feet? No, cannot, right? It's the same way too. When you and when we are living in sin, what happens to you is that you are trying to move forward with your life, but the sin that you all have is pulling you back. You cannot reach the newness of life if your sins are still keeping you shackled. That's the very reason why we need to be freed, because that's the only way through Jesus Christ that we can be set free from all of our sin. God wants to remove all of those baggages. I know some of you will be having difficulty carrying all of those loads, all of those frustrations, all of those pains, all of those sins. It's very difficult. But only through Jesus Christ can set you free, because you are crucified with Him. Third point. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, we will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. Died with Jesus so we could have eternal life. Died. You have to die with Jesus. Now, you might be asking, died, it means you are letting go of yourself. You still remember the message where who is seated in your heart? That circumcised heart. Do you still remember that circumcised heart? Who is reigning in your heart? Is it you or Jesus Christ? Who is the king? Who is the master? Who is the Lord of your life? God is telling us that you have to die for yourself. Die yourself. It is not you who is now living in you. You are united with Christ. Therefore, the one that who is your Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ. It is not you who is being what? Who is doing the things anymore. You have to, in every decision that you make and take, are you asking Jesus Christ, Lord, is this your perfect will? Is this your plan? Is this your way, O Lord? That's the very reason that you have to die with Jesus Christ. You have to die for yourself so that Jesus can reign in your life supremely and control the way you live. If you are living in disobedience and you are still living in yourself, you will not experience the best life ever that only Jesus can give. You will still see that I'm still old, or I'm still living in poverty, or I'm still living in my problems. It's because you are not surrendering everything to Christ, because you are still living in yourself. You have to die for yourself and let Christ live in you, in us, richly, so that you could experience the newness of life. Now, that's where we go to the third point, which is alive to Christ Jesus. Now, who loves pets here? You have this. Hamster. You will see here that they always played all day and they will just run there inside without going anywhere. And then when their energy is gone, they will rest, they will sleep, and then the next day they will run again there. That is precisely the same way here. Right? Who among you here is frustrated, right? I'm going to go wake up, take a bath, okay, go to work, go jam, and then late again, and then after work, time out, eat again, sleep again. It's a cycle, right? If you will read Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, it's one of the examples there. It is the rat race. And our lives is like that. If you are living for yourself, your life will be so filled with frustration because you are not going anywhere. Correct? Your life is like that. And sometimes the way that you are very frustrated with life is because you are doing your best. You want to get rich. You want to have those things. And yet, you are still there, stuck. You cannot discover what Christ has a plan for you because you are living in yourself and you do not let Christ set you free. Now, how should we live for Jesus Christ? Now, you will see here, so also you must consider yourselves dead to sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus. Consider yourself dead to sin. That's the first point. God wants you to be dead from sin. You have already died with Christ on the cross. Therefore, it is not you who is reigning in your body anymore, but Jesus Christ. You are united with Christ. You are baptized with Jesus Christ. Therefore, you are dead to sin. So you should not be living in sin anymore. If you are living in sin, you're just going to do it as a cycle again. Is it that so frustrating that I read this, okay, I'm condemned, and then I will pray again, ask the Lord for forgiveness. The next day, I will sin again, and then the same sin again and again, again and again, and again and again. Isn't that so frustrating that you are living in sin, that you are doing the same sin again and again and again and again and again and again? You're asking the Lord for forgiveness, then the next day you will sin again. It will become a cycle until you surrender everything to the Lord. That's when we need the grace of God. When we surrender everything. Because you cannot overcome your addiction. You cannot overcome your sin. People, okay, go to drug rehabilitation for 3 months, and then when they go out, they come back again to their old habits. Why? It's because you cannot do it alone. You need the grace of Jesus Christ. And you have to surrender everything to be dead in sin. Now, next one. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Point C2, do not let sin reign in your body. Any part of your body, do not offer it to sin. Imagine if you are going to cook pak choy. Like pak choy, right? We all love pak. Imagine if half of it is rotten, Would you go? You put it in your soup if half of it is rotten and half of it is good? You won't, right? It's the same. Jesus is holy, therefore we need to be holy as well. So every part of our body should be holy because the Lord is telling us, do not let sin reign in your body. If your eyes is causing you to sin, surrender that eyes to the Lord. If your ears is causing you to sin, surrender that ear to the Lord. If your tongue is causing you to gossip, surrender that tongue to the Lord. Every part of your body must be surrendered to the Lord. Third point, do not present your members to sin as an instrument for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Point C3 is, present yourselves to God as instruments for righteousness. You cannot use an instrument that is what? Broken, correct? If you have a guitar, a 6-string guitar, when one of the strings is broken, it's impossible for you to play it properly. So that's why God is telling us, present yourself to God as instrument of righteousness. You are God's instrument. Jesus is in us. Jesus is baptized in us. We are united with Jesus Christ. Therefore, you are an instrument of righteousness. Let God use your body as instrument of righteousness rather than an instrument of sin. God wants us to be used, and God can only use those who are instruments of righteousness. And God wants to use each one of you today. Therefore, we need to present ourselves to God holy. And lastly, this, for sin we have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Live under God's grace each day. It is connected in chapter 5. We need the grace of God. Because you cannot survive in this world in your own strength, in your own wisdom, in your own capacity. You cannot overcome sin with your own capacity. It's only through God's grace that we live each day. So live in God's grace, because He is the only one that could help you overcome those struggles in life. If you have an addiction to something, it is only through God's grace that you could overcome. If you have problems in life, marital problems, spiritual problems, physical problems, or even work problems, it's only through God's grace that you could survive this world. Because God's grace abounds. It doesn't end there that you are just justified, but the grace of God abounds to each and every person, each and everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, to summarize this thing, okay, our sin, our old self, you should put to death. You are baptized with Christ, or buried with Christ, and because of you are baptized, buried with Christ, you are alive in Christ. You are set free. to walk in the newness of life. Do you want to experience that newness of life? Amen, right? You want to live a life that is so free. And you can only achieve that through Jesus Christ. Now, if you will look here, this is the verse that is so beautiful here. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. He died once to break the power of sin. Imagine, Jesus needs to only die once to break you free from your sin. And God wants us to live for His glory every day. Now, this is my challenge for you today. Have you fully surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Or are you still living in sin? Are you someone that is in that rat race, that hamster wheel that runs and so tired of life? And you want to surrender that life to Jesus Christ. Is anybody here wants to surrender his life to Jesus Christ? Is there anybody here who hasn't been baptized with Jesus Christ? You haven't believed yet that Jesus Christ, you haven't confessed yet with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is there someone in this room or in someone that is watching over now? Are you someone that you haven't asked for Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Is there anybody here? You can raise your hand. And if there's someone here that who wants to fully surrender his life to Christ, raise your hand. Because God wants to set you free. Set each one of us free. But only if you surrender to Jesus Christ and you die to your sin, you will be set free. Is there anybody here who wants to surrender his life to Jesus Christ? Let's all stand up. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, so much, Lord, for this day that you have given us. Thank you, Lord God, but through you, O Lord God, we need to be baptized in you. We need to be united with you, O Lord God, so that we could experience the newness of life, O Lord. Lord, if someone is here today, O Lord God, who wants to surrender his life to you, O Lord God, I pray, O Lord God, we surrender everything to you. Because only through your Son, Jesus Christ, we will be set free. And Lord, I pray, guide us, O Lord God. Help us, Lord, through your grace each day. Help us, Lord, to surrender our lives to you. It is not us who live for ourselves, but you are the one reigning in our hearts, O Lord God. And I pray to this church, O Lord God, help us, Lord, to die each day, O Lord God, so that we could obey you, Lord, completely, 100%, O Lord. As we surrender everything to you, O Lord God, I pray, O Lord God, for a surrendered life for each and every member of this church, O Lord God, so that we could experience the newness of life that only you can give. Truly, Lord, once we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, we will never look back on our plan. And Lord, I pray that the church will taste and see your goodness, O Lord God, because it is the best ever. Thank you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.